Welcome to the Washington Heights Church weekly podcast. We do this to help people feel at home at WHC, where we help people meet and follow Jesus. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for joining us today on the Washington Heights weekly podcast. And we've been introducing you to various staff members along the way. And today I want to introduce you to another one, another young member of our staff here. I am happy to say that. And that is Andrew Moore. And Andrew is our point person for our ministry to fifth and sixth graders. So, Andrew, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So why don't you just talk a little bit about you, about your family, and things like that.
Yeah, for sure. I've been in Utah most of my life since I was 8 years old. Before that, I was in Arizona for four, and then I was born in Idaho, in Boise. My whole dad's side of the family, they've all grown up pastors and preachers. And yeah, it's just my parents and my sister and I here in Utah right now. My mom's side lives in Arizona, and it's awesome. Yeah, we've been coming here since I've moved here, so for 12 years now we've been coming to Washington Heights.
So you were part of the youth ministry here as a student.
I was, yep.
And now you're leading that unique area of fifth and sixth. And it used to be that the fifth graders were with the children and the sixth graders were with the junior high. But along the way, we just thought, you know, there's this very unique niche where they're kind of not kids anymore, but they're not really young adults either. And so we started that fifth and sixth. Talk a little bit about that from your perspective. What makes that such a unique just station in life?
Yeah, well, preteens are awesome. They're full of energy, but they're also at an age where they're starting to try and figure out their identity and who they are, and they're asking these questions about life, about religion, about their faith, about whatever it is, homework, school. And so we see it as a very important time in their lives where we can make an impact on them and maybe build their foundation in their faith with Jesus. At that age, our theme verse in Route 56 is Proverbs 22:6, which is, "Start off children the way they should go, and when they're older, they won't turn from it." Obviously, that was a paraphrase, but it's so true. We want to help them, give them the tools to succeed for when they go into junior high and even high school so that they can be prepared for whatever challenges they face.
And I think it's, you know, a fair statement to say that, you know, from the time I was in fifth and sixth grade, culture's changed quite a bit, right? And so back then, you know, boy, are they drinking, you know, are they fooling around? But I would guess that even, you know, from the time that you were there, that our culture has changed quite a bit. Talk a little bit about, you know, what kind of issues are fifth and sixth graders dealing with today?
Yeah, they deal with a lot. They, like I said, they're right now at this age, at 10 to 12 years old, they're now thinking for themselves. It's no longer what their parents think. They're trying to figure out who they are and build their identities. So they're dealing with a lot of things like insecurities about their looks, about who they are, or confidence issues, or they're dealing with bullies in school, stuff like that.
And now bullies are not only in school, right? They're also online, so you can't even get away from it.
Yeah, a lot of them, which is surprising, a lot of them have phones now. And so they're, they just have cyber bullies. They have a lot of things that they deal with.
Mm-hmm. And depression, I hear, is at an all-time high, even in that age group, which just really makes my heart hurt, you know, because I'm thinking, man, they should just be having some fun, learning some stuff in school and figuring out who they are, not having to deal with such a heavy darkness. Have you seen some of that?
A little bit. And that's why we believe it's so important to teach them about who they are in Christ and giving them that positivity that they need so that they aren't depressed and so that they have somewhere to look and someone to look to, and that's Jesus. And so,
So talk a little bit about what happens. Well, I should say what happens normally when we're open and functioning, not in the middle of a pandemic, and right now not able to do our children's student ministries, because if we try to, we really fear that we would have to turn people away, and right. that is just not an option for us to turn anybody away. But if it was a normal day, what is happening in that room?
Yeah, so we'll start off with some Nine Square. It's definitely a Route 56 favorite. We'll just play some games. We'll have some fellowship together, get to know the new students. And then we just go straight into our worship service. We'll have some worship songs, and then we'll have an opening game that relates to the message, and then we'll do a message based off of a series that we're doing that can last from 4 to 8 weeks, and then we do small groups. Hmm.
And so you have a team of people that works together with you. You're not doing this all on your own?
No. Luckily, I couldn't do this on my own. I have a team that helps me with worship and small groups and all of it. It's really awesome.
And if somebody is listening today and they think, hey, I might want to be a part of that, what could they do?
Yeah, they can help with tech. They can help with the worship team if they have a heart for worship and know how to play an instrument or sing. We are always in need for worship team members. They can be small group leaders if they have a passion with talking to students and they have a relationship with Jesus. That's very important. And then they can just be greeters. They can make the students feel welcome. It's a very safe place for people and students of any feelings or whatever it is. It's a very welcoming environment. So just leaders that are willing to talk to the students and be there for them.
Hmm. And you mentioned Nine Square, and one day as a staff, we played that and it got pretty competitive, didn't it? It was like, yeah, we're just going to do this for about 20 minutes. And then like an hour later, no, one more time, because I know I can beat them and I'm going to spike it in somebody's face.
Very competitive.
But fun. So you're in a unique position there. You get kids that are coming out of children's ministry. Mm-hmm. And then when they leave the fifth and sixth program, they're heading into junior and senior high. What is our goal, or what is our desire for those kids when they come, from the time they come until the time that they move on to the student ministries? What do we want for them?
Yeah, well, we get a lot of people. We get people that have been part of the church for a really long time, and then we get people that are brand new. And I think our goal follows the goal of the church, which is to help people meet and follow Jesus. Obviously, they're in a different walk of life than kids ministry, and very different than junior high and high school. So we revolve our lessons around focusing on things they're struggling with. And we just want to give them the tools to equip them to be able to be strong in their faith in Jesus as they move up into junior high and high school.
And you mentioned new kids coming. Do fifth and sixth graders invite their friends to this program?
They do. We have a lot of activities throughout the year. We do notice that a lot of students like to invite their friends to a lot of the fun aspects. But then we also notice that once they come to a fun activity that we have, like a slip and slide kickball event or something, then they start coming to church. And it's really awesome that they get involved that way.
Yeah, fun's just kind of the front door, right?
Exactly, yeah.
That invites them into the rest of the house.
Yeah.
So, without naming any names, can you tell me, just if you think of one story where you go, that's what we're, you know, trying to do, and obviously it's God who's doing, you know, anything in anybody's life at the end of the day, but if you could think of one story with one, or maybe, you know, a few fifth and sixth graders, in the time that you've been there, to say, there it is, that's kind of the goal that we're shooting for, what would that be?
Yeah, I had one student who came to our, it was actually recently, we were doing our Zoom Sunday services because we weren't meeting here at the church, and I had a student that was brand new, had never been here. Their family had actually never attended Washington Heights before. And so they heard about it through Facebook, and he attended it, never been here, never had any faith background. And I did my message, and he was asking a bunch of questions, and he was really engaged, and he loved it. He won one of our competitions, so I got to go and take Chick-fil-A to his house and meet him in person, and it was really awesome. And then later on down the road, his mom had emailed me and said how much of an impact it made in his life, because he does get bullied in school, and just being able to be on a Zoom call with a bunch of people that have the same like mind and are just really inviting and very welcoming. It was a big impact for him. And his mom also had been asking me, like, what kind of Bible should I get for this student? And I had a Bible that a friend had given me that I was wanting to give to the right person. And I just felt God telling me, give it to this student. And so I gave it to him. And he, ever since then, he's been using that Bible with the messages, and it's super awesome.
Wow. If an older dog like myself just wanted to encourage, you know, kids who are growing up these days, but maybe we feel like, you know what, I'm not sure I could serve there because that's a big gap between, you know, me and my time and them now. But if they just wanted to be an encouragement to kids who are growing up, whether it's in their community or around church or wherever they might see them, what would you recommend that people, you know, maybe in advanced years like me would do to encourage?
Yeah, honestly, I think just meeting them where they're at. I think they've got a lot of struggles. They've got a lot of things they're dealing with insecurities and confidence issues. I think just being somebody that can listen to them, listen to what they're going through, and just encourage them that this stuff is not that important. What's important is that you're a child of God. Like you're like Jesus loves you, and he's there for you, and he desires to be near you. And I think that is really cool in of itself. So,
Well, let me shift the gears to you a little bit.
Yeah.
Right now you're a student at Weber State.
I am.
Studying what?
I'm studying business administration.
And what do you think the future holds for you?
Yeah. Well, so I say I'm studying business, but I really am not a huge fan of it. it's definitely not who I am, but I envision doing business because I could stay local and do my bachelor's for basically free, which is really awesome. And down the line, I want to go into ministry, and I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if that's youth pastor or senior pastor or worship. I don't know, whatever God wants for me to do, but I definitely see ministry down the line. God's definitely had a calling in my life, and I saw business as an opportunity. If one day I'm running a church or starting a church, church can be a business. So I wanted to have that business background, and then one day, once I'm finished with my bachelor's, I'd love to go into Liberty Online and maybe do a master's program and do seminary.
And for those listening, Liberty has a divinity school, Liberty University,
yes,
in Virginia. And in the new day, you can get your degree online, which I did not have that opportunity back when I was your age, and I'm a little bit jealous about that. But what would you say to maybe somebody who's thinking, boy, does God have maybe ministry ahead for me? How do you think about that, and you use the word calling? How do you think about making that kind of decision, right? Because business and ministry and church certainly has a business aspect to it,
right?
Has a number of aspects to it, and that's one of them. But how do you make that decision to, you know, because you're talking about, you know, your future career. It's
right.
A lot.
Yeah. The rest of my life. And for me personally, I actually, for the longest time, well, I'm only 20, but for the longest time,
rub it in.
For the longest time, I've turned away from ministry. I wasn't interested because I grew up thinking that my parents and my grandparents would say, you need to do a job that makes a lot of money so you can support a family. And I always knew that ministry, I mean, you don't do it for the money. So,
So
that was kind of always not an option. So I went to school thinking, oh, I'll be a doctor. Oh, I'll be a architect or an engineer and all these things, but none of it interested me. I would like attend schools, and I would, take tours of schools for aviation, flying planes. And I found out that's definitely not what I want to do. And so, but every time I've thought of a different profession, my mind has always led back to ministry. And that's just a huge part of who I am. And every time I think of doing ministry, that's the only thing I think I would be successful and happy doing.
Mm. And at the same time, you know, people don't necessarily have to become full-time ministers
right.
to do ministry. And I think, you know, you grew up in a home that's a great example of that. Your dad's an engineer, your mom's an art teacher,
yep.
right? And they have both done ministry.
Oh, yeah.
Right, for probably as long as you have
yeah.
been aware of that, right?
Yeah.
What kind of things have you seen them do?
My mom, she... Everybody calls her the mom of whatever school she's attending. She's just got the biggest heart, and she goes to all the students want to come to her with any issues they're going through or any praises that they have in their lives. They always want to go to my mom to talk to her about it. And, you know, working in a school, it's hard to kind of, incorporate your faith and your religion into it. So it's usually like after school or something, my mom will have these conversations with students about whatever they're dealing with. And she's pretty much Jesus for those students, which is really cool. And then my dad, he's the same. He's been serving at the church on worship teams and doing tech and all of that.
Our Boy Scout.
And Boy Scouts,
well. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So ministry, right? I mean, you could do that anywhere, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, the decision to think, boy, is that going to be the direction I take my career?
Yeah.
There's an option there too, but certainly not, it's not all or nothing,
right?
And I really believe that we need a lot of people doing ministry, whether
yeah.
it be the public school or in places where engineers are employed or whatever it is that
yeah.
somebody does, that ministry is here, there, and everywhere,
yeah.
not just in a church building.
True. Very true.
So what... going back a little bit mm-hmm. to the fifth and sixth grade arena, if you had one wish for the fifth and sixth graders that they could just grasp one aspect of who God is, what is the one thing that you would say, man, if I could just pick one thing, I want them to just get that, embody that, live that, rest in that.
Right.
What is that?
Oh, wow. That's a big question. I think definitely loving. A lot of students, some of them grow up in broken families, or they don't maybe have a father figure or a mother figure in their lives. And I think it's so important that they remember that God loves you no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. He loves you. He desires to be near you. And that's super important. Another thing I think is he's forgiving. Whatever we've done in our lives, it's not too much for God to handle. God can forgive them for anything, and we can just rest in knowing that.
Mm, cool.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question I ask, you know, a lot of people that I have in here. What's one lesson God is teaching you recently?
Yes, I've been talking about this a lot with InterVarsity students and my students, that I'm not as in control as I want to be, especially during this time of COVID. I've had to give up a lot of control that I thought I had, but I don't have control. It's all God. And so just stopping and listening to what God has for me and for plans for Route 56 and whatever it is, that's been a big lesson.
Mm. And how's it affected you to know, and we're in a series right now entitled God's Got
yeah,
This,
God's
and
got I, this,
that's
yep.
exactly what you're talking about, right? How has that impacted just your own faith, your own journey?
It's been stronger now that I've been giving up control. This is a part of my faith story as well, is just giving up control of my life and letting God use me has been amazing in my relationship with God. It's really grown me, knowing it's not about me. I'm not in control. God's in control, and letting him use me and listening to what he's wants me to do has been really a lot of growth.
Mm, awesome. Well, Andrew, our time is slipping away here. I want to thank you for doing this, but more than that, I want to thank you for what you do. We're very, very fortunate to have you as a part of our staff here, and you're making a tremendous difference. If anybody even just wants to go see at a date when we're open again,
yes,
what happens in that Route 56 room, I would just challenge you to go in there and check it out. It is a happening place. The kids are having a ball, but it's not just about having fun, but it's okay to have fun in church too, right? And they are learning about the Jesus of the Bible, and you are helping people meet and follow Jesus. So thank you for everything that you are doing, and hopefully your efforts in that direction are part of Washington Heights for a long, long time. But thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right, and thanks for everybody tuning in today, and we will see you next time on the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast.
Thanks for joining us for the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast. A new podcast will post every Monday. We encourage you to check it out, subscribe to it as well. It'll come into your feed automatically. And if you want to share that with somebody that you know that maybe wants to find out a little bit more about Washington Heights, go ahead and share that. And we look forward to hearing from you as well. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.